Thank you, honorable members and children that is here. Can we kind of start? Can I thank you? There's a mic that is on somewhere. Oh. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you to everyone that is here. Welcome in 2014. It's the first time that we're meeting. I'd like to thank you for making it to this meeting. As you know, today on the agenda, there are two items that have to be done. One is the consideration and finalization of the South African Language Cultural Council, and then we still continue with the briefings from SARA. As you remember, that last year we never completed, so there are certain issues that had to be addressed, and then we will try not to keep the meeting very long. And I know members, this week I don't think we have anything to do with. We have on the program, but I know when it's on, members looking for shoes and dresses. I don't think we can, unless members of the portfolio committee agree. Members, the agenda is in front of you. Is there anyone who's moving for the adoption? Okay, we'll find Harvey. And then seconded by Honorable Mo. Yo, Musho and Corey. Members, now my name is Tanjia Sunduza. I'm the chair of the portfolio committee for those who don't know me. I'll introduce the honorable members. It's Dr. Pankalbe, Honorable Babunda, then Honorable Moshwana, Honorable Namita Shulubana, and then that's all the members that are here. And then we have Minister Mashatile next to me. They call him Minister Statues, ladies, because these are amazing statues. And then Jabu is the committee secretary, and Policy, the council advisor, Fiona, our researcher, Sarah, my PA, and then you're joining our committee assistant. Where's my last person? Put the meeting in. Oh, okay. Members, well, the first item on the agenda is the consideration and finalization of amendments made to the South African Language Practitioners Council Bill. I must clearly state that members, we did the bill and it was on time, and thank you for your cooperation. And it went to the NCOP, but now they have returned the document because of certain, I would say, technical issues. I'm not sure that's the correct language. And maybe, Auntie, I'm not sure. I believe that some of you were in the NCOP, so I'm not sure about the challenges. But now the only thing, we can just do this very quickly, maybe in 10 to 15 minutes. But now remember, the challenge on our side will be that we can't adopt the changes because we don't have a quorum. So it's something that maybe we can do quickly, and then we'll just leave it just adopted in the next meeting. I think I'm not sure that we're fine about it. Okay, just quickly. Don't be surprised when the minister is leaving at some stage because he's got a cabinet meeting it's a cabinet in Khuta. So he's pressurizing me to say that no, he doesn't leave or other agriculture issues won't be processed. So as part of manipulation, so I'll have to agree to it. Just please apologize, I forgot about them. Dr. Pasha, he's at the cabinet in the Khuta, but your deputy is them. And then you have Mamukoyeli, who's got employment in KZN. You have Honorable Khwarai, he's got over 5 years of tourism, and Louis Hazale. I have not seen him. I'm not sure what is the issue. And then Mo sent me a message this morning saying that she's. Yeah. Oh, there she is. Okay. I thought you can't walk. Oh, welcome. Okay, she went to the doctor because remember she broke her leg last year. She fell. I don't know. Welcome, I was about to give you an apology. If you can get one more, then you can adopt us. So, Minister, those were peaceful today. I'll allow you to leave. Yeah. Amendments, the amendments have been sent to you. I believe you all have the amendments. And I'm done with them. Unless members have been, I'm not answering how do you want to take up by those clauses that have been changed. You know, the challenge that here is that we don't meet the NCOP with us, because it would have been nice when they're here to say why do they want a certain amendment. Especially, like, I was very concerned about the amendment on the staff qualifications. I think that's one of the issues that the portfolio committee was very clear why you want it in. But I'll just give it over to you as they are quickly. Didi, how are you? Are you well? Where's the legal person? I don't have legal person. Go back to you know, somebody said, "Don't smile, you're not speaking the truth." So I'm not sure. Oh, okay. Then, where's my chef?
No, I checked with her. She said she's not well. She. Yeah.
Your people are not here, but by law, both of the legal people of the department are here. That is one. But green, yellow, and other department just no. Okay.
Thank you, President. Morning, Chair. Morning, Minister. Morning, members. The matter before today concerns the amendments proposed by NCFP in respect of the South African Language Practitioners Council Law. Chair, I would like to state at this point that I was not in the Select Committee at the time when the amendment was proposed. I was off for a long time at the end of last year with sick leave. I had an operation, and when I returned, I inherited the amendment as we all inherited it here this morning. But I have had a chance to look at it and to appoint myself, and basically what I can take from these amendments is that they are technical in nature. They don't change any substance of the bill passed by the portfolio committee. So in essence, what is on paper before us are movements of commas, referencing, where we perhaps omitted to correct certain sections in the bill. Those are things that the select committee have not pointed out. So Chair, I'm not sure if you'd like me at this stage to take the committee through each of the amendments. If that is your instruction, Chair, I'll be happy to do that. And then I have asked the committee secretary to circulate a copy of the ADC dated 14 November 2013. On top of the copy that members do have is the number 5954, and it's dated 14 November 2013. So that's the reflection of the proposed amendments passed by the National Council of Provinces, and that's the document that I will be speaking to. It's exactly the same as the document that the committee secretary circulated. This is just the official version, so that members of, can satisfy themselves that what we are dealing with is the true reflection as it appears on the ADC. But the Word document is the same as the document I was speaking to. Chair, under point 5 on the ADC of 4 November, the first amendment which is proposed is to the front page of the bill, and the Select Committee proposes that the section 75 be inserted after the word National Assembly. I have had time to consult with my colleagues who were in the Select Committee, and the thing for that, the rationale behind that amendment is that the Select Committee was saying that they would love to pick up a bill and know if the bill is a 75 or 76. And so I'm not opposed to that amendment too. I think that it's something that the committee could agree to, but I'm obviously not the one that can make that decision. But from a legal perspective, I have no objection to the proposed amendment in that respect. That the word section 75 be inserted on the cover of the form. Second amendment proposed by the Select Committee relates to chapter 1 on the book, and that would be on page 2. What the Select Committee has proposed is that clause 2 of the book, which says application of the Act, should be moved up on page 5 above the words, page 5 of the book, above the words chapter 2. That's form and style, and one begins here, I would not have any objection to that. Then the amendments take us to clause 1 of the bill on page 4. And when I say page 4, that's page 4 of the B bill. Now what the committee proposed is that we had in the B bill as the portfolio committee, the definition of portfolio committee in line 34 on page 4 of the B bill. Portfolio committee means portfolio committee responsible for language matters. As I understand it, the Select Committee favors that the words portfolio committee in the definition be changed to the word parliament. They then propose that next to the words portfolio committee, that Select Committee be inserted. So the definition would be portfolio committee means, or sorry, parliament means portfolio committee and select committee responsible for language matters. Now, Chair, this is the one amendment that I would recommend a change as proposed to the select committee. Having considered the proposed amendment, I'm of the opinion that if the committee favors proceed with eliminating the word portfolio committee from definition and to go with the word parliament, that parliament should then be defined as it is defined in section 42 of the Constitution, which refers to the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, and not to delineate that into a committee, because as we know, that the setup of Parliament is such that a bill is referred to a House, and it is the House's prerogative to refer a bill to whichever committee the House so pleases. And I think that we shouldn't in legislation be limiting that application. If the committee agrees to change the definition to parliament, it should not read parliament means portfolio committee responsible for language matters, but it should read parliament as defined in section 42 of the constitution. I will amplify that later when I get to some of the other amendments as proposed to the select committee, and then we'll be able to understand further why I'm making that suggestion. So Chair, that I'm sure at this stage we've maybe just flagged that a proposed amendment, and I'll move on to the others, and when the word does come up again, I will further amplify that. Moving on to the next amendment, proposed by the NCOP on page 5955 of the ADC, which is clause 2. And what they have done in clause 2 is to propose that clause 2 be rejected. Now, it doesn't mean that clause 2 is eliminated from the bill. What that rejection entails, if we look just below the heading clause 2, it says new clause on page 5 after, on page 5 after line 11 and 412 to insert a new clause. Essentially, it's not a new clause, it's just the old clause 2 that's been moved up. So that's an amendment that takes on a stylistic form. Nothing in substance changes, they've just moved clause 2 higher on the page. In that respect, I would be in agreement with that. There would be nothing that is substantively altered in this book if that amendment is accepted. Clause 4 on the proposed amendments. What the Select Committee has proposed, and actually, I, because I was not in the Select Committee, I lack the understanding, but what Clause 4 does on page 5 of the B bill in line 25 is to omit B, C, and E, and to substitute, and what it's basically done is it hasn't omitted it, but it's reshuffled. So the old B will become C, the old C will become D, and the old D will become see if I had a clue. So they've reshuffled BEV and C, but they've not taken away anything. So one thing, that's a form and style. I don't necessarily think that it is necessary, but if the committee agrees to that, there would be nothing altered because it's just moving the letters around in that clause. Coming to clause 5 of the bill, the NCP proposes that the acronyms, still on page 5 of the B bill, in line 46, that the acronym SACWA be deleted. Generally, if we are using the acronym, it would have to be defined up front to say that SACWA, and what we have done in the bill, I think we have defined for African Qualifications Authority, so therefore it would be technically correct that we would be for African Qualifications Authority is in the definition. There's no reference in the definition made to the acronym. So one thing, it would be technically correct to remove the acronym SHUA in brackets. We're not removing SACWA from the book. It's just letters SAQA. Because the word South African Qualifications Authority is defined. So that's the term we need to use in the book. But we're not taking up SACWA. It's just those four letters. No, it's just that. And then the same thing will apply, the same rationale, ETQA. Again, no. So, because we're writing it in syllable, we're not using it as the acronym ETQA, and that also then comes out. And because that's the technical, I would have no legal objection to that amendment to the committee if we accept it. The amendment to clause 6 on the bill, which is in page 7 of the B bill, in line 23, says to omit the inverted commas, and that's technically correct. The bill was printed with inverted commas before the full stop at the end of that sub-clause in line 23 on page 7. So that is also a typical amendment, which I have no legal objection to. And then staying on page 7 in line 39, this is where we see the first sign of this amendment proposed by the Select Committee of the word Parliament. Now in line 38, at clause 6 sub 8, it reads in the bill, the minister must, within 90 days after the appointment of members in terms of subsection 1, inform the cabinet and the portfolio committee. Now if I could just pause there, if this word portfolio committee stays, technically that would be incorrect, because we would have to know that the relationship with the minister would be to Parliament, not necessarily directly to the committee. So that's why I'm in agreement that the word changes to Parliament. And that is why I think the definition should take on section 42 of the Constitution, because now we have the thinking in our mind that the minister must, in 90 days, after appointing members, inform cabinet and Parliament. Parliament meaning the two houses, because we table documents in Parliament. And it can never then mean the portfolio committee and the select committee. And that is why I'm saying that the only amendment that I would propose the committee to make on top of the select committee amendments, which we are empowered to do in terms of NA Rule 270, is that Parliament should take the definition of Section 42 of the Constitution. The next proposed amendment relates to clause 7 of the B bill, and that we will find on page 8. And what that amendment proposes to do is to commit the citation of the Constitution, and that I would agree to because the Constitution is referred to as the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa in 1996. So the NCAP is proposing it after the word Constitution in line 7 on page 8, before the semicolon to insert of the Republic of South Africa 1996, and I would agree to that too. The next proposed amendment relates to clause 12 of the bill, and that we will find on page 9 of the B bill in line 38. And what the amendment does is to correct a cross-reference. Currently in line 38, at sub 3, 12, sub 3 in the B bill, it currently reads, a disclosure made in terms of subsection 1 must be recorded to the minutes of the meeting in question. At subsection 1, should actually be subsection 2, that referencing is incorrect, and so the select committee is proposing that subsection 1 be replaced with subsection 2, and that in 192 would be a fifth amendment. And then the next amendment would be clause 20, and we would find that on page 14 of the leaving. Clause 20, page 12. Once again, select referencing, we'll find in 20, sub 2, the currently read, the code of conduct determined in terms of paragraph A. It should be referring to subsection 1 above. So the code of conduct determined in subsection 1 takes effect upon the publication of the notice referred to. We just have to clean up the exact wording, but the reference in paragraph A should be deleted, as is correctly proposed by the select committee, to be effective subsection 1. I would be in agreement with that proposed amendment, Chair. On page 14 of the Beagle, line 5, that's clause 25. The Select Committee proposes that Portfolio Committee be substituted with the word Parliament. As indicated earlier, the relationship would be with Parliament. So now we find that court documents are tabled in Parliament. If we read 25 sub 2b, the board must, within 150 days after the report has been tabled, brief, and we have to reserve for a brief Parliament on the annual report, because that has now been defined and the appropriate internal procedures would follow from that. The next proposed amendment relates to clause 31 on page 16 in the book, and that's just deleting two words in line 2 which were erroneously found its way into that clause, and that should come out. The sentence reads, "Interdict that the absence of the manner, the absence of the name of a person from such copy is proof. Unless there is credible evidence to the contrary, that words is proof must come out, that such person is not registered according to provisions of this Act." That was a typo that checked in there. So those two words correctly quoted out should be deleted. Moving to page 17 of the Beagle, clause 35, in line 18, so we're dealing with 35, sub 2, no person may disclose information kept in the register contemplated in sections 8, 15.4 and 19.4, unless. That 15.4, if we look at that, there is no 15.4 in the bill, it should be 16.4. So that is a correct change pointed out by the Select Committee. In the last part, as proposed by the Select Committee Chair, on the ATC relates to the arrangement of sessions, and that's what I started with, where clause 2 was moved up before the heading chapter 2, and what the arrangement of sections does is now to actually correct the indexing on the bill on page 2 in the front of the bill. To now, next to the word definitions in line 6, which is the heading, next to the word definitions to insert and application, so that's now the complete heading, and then to in line 10, under the heading of African Language Practitioners Council, that number 2, application of Act, is then moved up directly under 1, definitions. And that's the proposed amendments too.
Thank you. And due to the legal team, I will hear with this proposal amendment. I will hear with the proposal amendment.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Chair, I was in the committee and the select also, and these amendments, I will afford them. I'm in agreement with my colleague, that the one section which refers to Parliament, which is in terms of Section 42 of the Constitution, referring to the two houses. However, this was one of the, we couldn't convince the Select Committee with it, because we proposed it in that manner, and they wanted a portfolio and submit, because they felt that these are the committees dealing with these issues. But I do believe that, that it should be in terms of 42 of the two houses, so that's the only thing we need to convince them to say that we need to change it in that manner. But there are still the things with technical in nature, and if we can do that, then I think we should adopt the chair. That's my opinion.
So are you saying we must convince them on the... Can I note it, please?
Yes, Chair, we need to just... Okay. It's for this to decide, but that was the only thing that, that the Select Committee tended not to agree with. They wanted it to reflect that they are the ones, the committee working with business, but we know that it comes to Parliament and Parliament delegates it down to the Houses.
What do you propose we must do then on that one? Where is in terms of the government?
Jefferson, the way I understand it is, even though this committee is the committee that now has final say on the bill in terms of constitution, in terms of Rule 270 of the NA rules, this committee can consult with the select committee that actually delivered it on the bill. If the committee that wishes, that would be something that the committee can do on this issue, is to liaise with the select committee and to get their view. Or the committee could take a decision going forward that the committee takes its own amendment on the amendment proposed by the select committee. But that's for the committee members and the staff chairs to decide what is your process going forward.
Thank you. Honourable members, I see Honourable Shana, your hand is up. Honourable members, there are the amendments and any input. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, I want to speak on this issue of committees at the Parliament. And actually, before convincing, we need to be convinced ourselves. Both of us listening and saying, hey, we're not supposed to mislead people outside or wherever. If we say Parliament, it's like, you know what a Parliament is? Like, when Parliament is sitting. And this particular issue was debated, and understanding that it's done, I think the committees are the ones doing it. And we need to tell you the way it is. I need to be convinced. First, I'm not that learned when it comes to the, I think we've been misleading this way. But what's wrong with this? I'm like this. What's wrong with the portfolio committee? You want to please sit with me. I'm checking with you. Thanks.
Any other member? You want to move on, please?
Chairperson, Parliament consists of several committees, and the portfolio committees and the select committees are Parliament. So I would agree that we use Parliament and not refer to the different committees. Parliament as referred to Section 42 or whatever. Because that entails different committees. I don't know, that's my opinion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to support that we use the word Parliament, because when the minister reports to Parliament, and Parliament complies with two houses, so to me, Parliament will be more suitable for the committee because it embraces the two houses. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Has the minister give a bit of context? Because I was part of the deliberations of the Select Committee. There were two things that the Select Committee felt concerned about. One was that they would like the processing of the reporting to both the Select Committee as well as the Portfolio Committee. The second issue was that a committee is simply a processing mechanism of Parliament. The reporting is done to Parliament, and hence they prefer the use of the word Parliament it covers both houses, but the committees are simply a processing mechanism. And I just say that without even knowing the rules, but I just thought it's important to place the context.
Any other members? On this issue? So, Nancy, you are through with Parliament. As you said.
Yes, sir. I don't have an objection to the proposed amendment that the NCOP is saying take the word portfolio committee and make that Parliament. My issue lies with the fact on how they've now defined Parliament. So I'm saying that we should not take the definition as the portfolio committee and the select committee. What they prefer, what the NCOP proposed to do is to say Parliament means the portfolio committee and select committee dealing with land use. And I'm saying that's incorrect. If the committee, if this committee agrees to accept the proposed amendment of the word Parliament, then Parliament should be defined as it means in the Constitution, as the National Assembly and the National Council. That is what I would say.
I think personally from what I get, I will agree with the last decision that Ante has given. Because you see now, I might not be a legal person, but I think as Orem Sana said earlier, we must not confuse people at the end of the day. So I would believe that let's stick to the word Parliament as other members have said. And I think if anyone took the bill, then it's very clear that we are speaking about the whole both houses, because it's very clear to everyone that the two houses that are making the law. I don't know the members would agree with that. I think two already agreed to the word Parliament. But I think that's clear now. If you go back to the SOP, then this is how we feel that it must be defined, the way we are using it. Police. It's okay. 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 Okay.
Chairperson, the board does not go back to the NCOP. This committee makes the final decision.
Did you
So, to explain from this...
It's my first committee. And there are hormones as well, so it's... Yeah, I think I'm not listening to the word Parliament. And it will does not make... Is there any other issue, members, on the bill that you feel that... on the amendment that has been done? Okay, and this one.
I don't know if I'm putting the cart before the horse, but just to check that because these are proposed amendments, they weren't merged into the bill. We would know as a committee that when we go through our deliberations and the committee votes, we would have an A list and then we give B bill. Now, because of the way the Constitution is set up, the NCOP only proposes amendments on the 25. So it's out of now if the members are going to agree in principle to now do that process. This now has to go onto a C list and a D bill, so that when this bill is reported on to the House, that we have the D bill. But it's essentially not work really, because this is the C list. This will go to C list. If the committee so instructs, we will just clean up the definition of Parliament to make that right, and then if the committee so wishes through UG, if we come back at another meeting with the two final documents, for the fine votes.
I don't know from my side, on my understanding, I don't think members, anyway, I'm not speaking on the behalf, they've got issues with the amendment, because you yourself have said it's very clear that they agree with the amendment. But the only one that we're speaking about is the issue of defining Parliament. I don't think there's an issue, because one of the issues that I really had a challenge with when I was looking at the bill and the proposed amendments was the issue of SAFA and issue. I know that they've been explained. I thought initially they are removing the whole context of why do we put staff for calculation, but now with you explaining it, then I think I'm happy with it. And I think members, I don't know. I'm happy with the amendment so far. Only the Parliament definition. But now we are shorter. Can anyone come bell us, please? Yes. We need that one person. Can you just get one? Sarah, are you ready for the presentation?
Okay, sure.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have left. I was going to say, just check it in, get one member of the institution. Any member, or a passage.
I'm not going to be able to do that. Thank you.
Do you want 5 minutes, members? Do you want 5 minute break? Members, I'll give you 2 minutes, then we can start another part.
Thank you.
Thank you, members. I think we can start now. 6 minutes over. We'd like to welcome Sarah to this meeting today. I think the last time we met Sarah, they gave us a document, I believe, from the last time, but it's a continuation from last year. Unfortunately, we could not continue to meet them because the legislation takes priority in Parliament more than anything else. When legislation comes, we drop everything else on the side. We would like to welcome you, and we believe Sarah with a new council, with they'll introduce themselves to us. I must say thank you for being concerned on this one. I'm not sure what Sarah only was, other councils are still outstanding. So I'm just saying thank you for this, and I hope you will ensure that the council is up in the adequate time, and you will introduce the council to us, and I believe the members are here. And I hope also council has got the diversity of skills that are required, as we proposed last year, and some of the issues is the understanding of the heritage, site heritage, the heritage environment. Members, you know that there are four entities that are priority to us right now in this current financial year. FARA is there's Freedom Park, there is Pan South, then what's the following? Remind me. The another problematic one. No, the fourth one. Is it? NAC. Yes. I don't know, not particularly that you solved it, but those are the four that are on the top priority list of being problematic. Members, it's also according to the audit report that we had received. And I must say, I will give over to Sarah. No, I believe you know, members of the portfolio committee. I believe members, there's one thing that I want to raise, that we're happy with DJ. A question came to my attention. People are happy with the state of Madiba in France. Maruna le rabbit, the rabbit in the ear. Maybe you should clarify the problem, because I had that question, I think, from media. I said, I'll come back in response in recent conversation, because I don't know what was the rabbit in the ear. When I saw the story, I thought it's a rabbit, a live rabbit that is sitting on the ear. Honestly, or maybe as a nest. That's what I thought, honestly, maybe.
It was inside.
Yes, I thought it's a rabbit, maybe that's what children, I don't know how to do it. So, honestly, I thought it's a live rabbit. So I thought maybe it's a sign of peace. I don't know, I had an issue. So I wanted that rabbit story, DJ. Maybe you should also clarify me on this one and Sarah as well, because I have to respond on that rabbit issue at some stage, and I don't know anything about the rabbit. What does the portfolio committee feel about the rabbit? So, Mina, I said, no, the rabbit really loves my diva, so he says, stay in the ear. So, but no, it's not the rabbit, it's in the So, in my ear, he lay, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to
I have
controversy. Okay.
Now, even I think we must preserve that rabbit, because it holds the world record. It can jump very high.
Yes. Actually, my question was, how did it get there? That's my question. It's a long statue, but I said, you know, God is miraculous, so I thought it's one of those issues. You know. Did you Can I give over to you?
Yeah, thank you. The issue that I have to check is the situation when the statue was being done, the sculptors who were doing it wanted to place a signature of theirs on it. This was never discussed with the department, but apparently they got an impression that they cannot put a signature, and hence they, without informing us and without our knowledge, they put a sculpt of a little rabbit in the left ear of the president. We obviously none of us saw that because apparently a small little rabbit that was put there. We did not see it when we came for the inspection of the statue, or when the statue was installed, or when the statue was unveiled. The first time we became aware that there is such a thing was when it came out in the media. We do not know how the media found out about it, because it's nothing that you can see physically. Now, what has happened is that we have requested to remove it at their own cost. The issue is not so much the rapids, but it's an impression that they can create, which is an unintended impression. We have agreed with them that they are going to remove it at their cost. That is the situation with the rapids, Chair.
So, who's
involved
in this?
Chair, we don't know. I wouldn't like to speculate. Thanks, Chair. The delegation from SARA is led by the chairperson of the Board of SARA, Mr. Makanya, and I'm going to hand over to him to introduce the rest of the delegation and then to lead us to the presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Jim, and Chairperson. May I just make mention that not all the members of Council are present, but I think we've got a contingent of members that duly represent the Council present today. Esther, we've prepared a presentation members of the Portfolio Committee to talk to the issues that were actually raised during the previous council. And also wanting to thank the Portfolio Committee for giving us an opportunity to come and present the new council. And even the issues that were, if one should call it puny, during the previous presentation, I think one gets a sense that the organization, with the caliber of the people that have actually been introduced to Council, we should be steering the thing into the right direction. Obviously, with challenges, but challenges are said to be faced head on. With that said, may I then just take you through the presentation as prepared?
Chairperson, before you start the presentation, can you kindly introduce the members of the group, because we don't know who is who here, members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Okay. With regards to the members that are here, I've got my acting CEO, which is Mayor Ramakoshi, my right-hand side, immediate right. And then that's followed by Mr. Makeka, who's the IT and property chairman of the committee. And then to his right, I've got Dr. Greg Houston, the committee member, and I think that is why it goes with regards to Council, and the rest is basically there's the executive from SARA and the supporting managers. Chairperson, just to give the purpose of the presentation was to give the portfolio committee of the progress of SARA's intervention, to give a status report on the areas identified by the committee, and to even introduce the newly appointed SARA Council, as mentioned. But I will cover that during my presentation. I will cover that quite substantially with regards to the other council members, how the council is actually constituted. Henceforth, the presentation outline talks then to the background that actually brought us here, which then spoke to the Taiwan process. And with it, there was popular points that we actually like to zone in, which is the finance team, the audit team, the property strategy team, and the forensic audit. And the status report of the following, which is why the portfolio committee actually called us here to the fore. The status of funding of the craft, the state of our properties which are leased below market value, the protection of SA heritage against illegal activities, the repatriation and protection of SA struggle heritage, the status of District 6, and the recruitment of the process of the CEO, and the introduction of the new council. Just to give a brief background with regards to during the 2012 and the 2011-2012, SARA received a negative audit finding that was sustained. Then the council appointed the turnaround trust team to correct the sustained audit, of which then SARA reported to the portfolio committee the intervention strategies adopted to address the challenges in the organization. And I think the problems that actually came out of that negative audit finding, it was finance, assets, organizational development, property portfolio, and the forensic audit. Of which our finance team then, worked tirelessly to then try and identify. Then all part of the project team, a draft report was then submitted and made their inputs, of which the final report is still pending. And regarding the audit team, the completed sales audit was done, with the organization's culture audit being done as well, together with the performance management system, organizational performance management framework, wellness program, and salary benchmarking, just to bring the organization to a functioning capacity. And lastly, there was a forensic report that was done, or that was instituted, of which out of that we just received the final report, and out of that we obviously get the recommendations for the implementation thereof. This is just to give an indication of how SARA has basically performed throughout the previous financial year. Obviously, commencing from the 2009-2010 financial year end, and going up until 2012-2013, when we then got the qualified audit opinion. And then just the third quarter says to take you through the findings were of non-compliance, including no findings on the PDO. Chair, what we have done here, this is, the table just gives you an indication of what then led to the disclaimer, of which then the problem on your left-hand side talks to the qualification as prescribed, with the ratification being on the right-hand side of your column. And then if you can allow me, I think the qualification note prescribes exactly what the problem was and the type of qualification that was actually taken up by SAP. So I'm not going to go through the details as such. I'll just leave it for the members to actually go through them. And if there's any questions, then you can be able to talk to them. Regarding the status of the props, just to give a brief overview, as required by the Act, we have 9 provinces, of which then that then talks to the 9 props, starting with the Amapa, which is in KwaZulu-Natal, not Natal, which is then duly represented in Kaunda, and it's fully functional. And then we've got the Heritage Western Cape, which is not represented in our council, but is fully functional. That's followed by the Eastern Cape, which is represented in council and fully functional with limited resources. Scouting is represented in council and performs all functions except archaeology, paleontology, and visual arts. Free State is represented in council and performs all functions except the above, which is archaeology, paleontology, and meteorites. And the 2 challenged ones is basically the Northern Cape, which is not represented in council, but performs the environment functions. So is the Limpopo council. The Limpopo Kra, Mpumalanga, and then Northwest. Northwest, unfortunately, there's no Kra, which is present, and then SARA performs those functions on their behalf. Regarding the issues of property, that's just a image of one of the properties that are actually leased through SARA, which is the Falkenberg Manor, because I think that there was a question that actually arose from the portfolio committee with regards to the status of the properties that were actually leased from SARA. And giving a progress report with regard to those properties, SARA owns a number of properties in Straybar, and during the 1980s, the National Monument Council entered into this agreement with various tenants. These agreements bind SARA to a 25-year lease agreement that can be renewed by the tenant for another 25 years with a rental of 1 rand a year. Which I must say, when you came to, we were actually flabbergasted by such. However, I think it's one of the challenges that we actually sit with and would like to champion those ones. Sarah's previous counsel had requested that the lease agreement be cancelled and the tenant be evicted. However, as law details and actually required, one actually needs to apply itself with regards to taking up such hence, legal advice was sought from Bowman Wilson attorneys. On the next slide, Jefferson, that's just an indication of the property that we're actually talking about, with the name of the actual property on the first column, and then the location on the second column, with the lease starting dates. Stages on the third column, and period ending of those leases on the fourth column, with the rental as prescribed previously, with a note that then talks to what is it that's actually in place with regards to those leases. That's just an image of one of the properties that were actually renovated. The terms of the lease agreement reads that rent shall be the sum of 1 rand per year payable annually. The tenant did not see the rights to the lease, to the stationery, or sublet the lease without permission from SARA. For termination of the initial period of 25 years, the tenant at his option is entitled to renew the lease for the same annual rental of 1 rand. In the event of the termination of the lease by reason of death, the tenant has an option of seeing the lease to a beneficiary stipulated in the disagreement. And the tenant shall have the right to renew the lease for a further period of 25 years, provided that he shall give notice to SARA in writing at least 1 month prior to the expiration of the lease. This then gives the broader now picture of the table as listed. I think in total we're talking about 8 cottages, and this is the status of the lease agreement in hand. And without actually being pedantic, I think out there, if there's any questions that are actually going to arise out of that, then we should be able to talk to them. This is just an indication of the status of the agreement as we can be sitting here. Through the legal advice that's actually sought, this is now the engagement or the position of tenants with regards to trying and negotiating leases that have either expired or are nearly coming to an end. Especially from cottage 1 to cottage 9, to give a brief overview, cottage 1 and cottage 2, which is then listed on the table as listed. These ones, we basically are sitting in a situation whereby the leaser was actually not interested. As the lease had already been renewed, and cottage 3 and cottage 4. In these ones, we are unable to reach the tenant, but if one should call it, we basically try to trace them. Cottage 5 follows the same footsteps of cottage 1 and cottage 2, with cottage 6 to cottage 8 because of numbering. Because it's 6, 7, and 8, those are then willing to enter into a new lease agreement with regards to the terms and conditions that have been suggested by SARA. The legal opinion then stated with regards to those leases, the lease is renewable twice. The period of the lease, though, may not exceed 75 years. This is based on termination of the right to renew for a further 25 years, and such renewed lease shall again be renewable on similar terms. Furthermore, there were improvements that were done to the property, so hence the legal advice needed to actually talk to that. And the position and the legal position that were actually given with respect to that is that still those certain tenants have incurred expenses, improvements made to the homes amounting to 250,000, and they are deemed to be plus minus because it cannot be definite. This doesn't imply that the lease agreement has perpetual renewal, and tenants were compensated by nominal rental and the 75-year term. Termination on the basis of non-registration of the lease. This then stated that some may argue that because the lease agreement is a long lease, it is invalid as is not registered, and the formalities in respect of this is of Land Act of 1969 relates to the successors entitled, and all successors entitled are bound by a long lease irrespective of whether they are registered or not. And it should actually be noted that SARA is a successor entitled as it inherited the lease from the National Monument Society. The termination of leases. The note that they talks to the leases that are not renewed, those that have not exercised their option for renewal by writing to SARA are therefore subject to the Rental Housing Act, which then basically means that the month-to-month lease and can receive 1 month's notice of termination. we believe that when we're renewed, considering that the agreement is not in perpetuity and therefore a legal binding contract, and further considering that it was not necessary to register the lease agreement, the lease agreement cannot simply be terminated. Chairperson must just state that considerations by SARA on the options actually as stated, at the time of the lease, at the time the lease were concluded during the NMC, the NMA required that the minister give consent in writing prior to the leasing of the land. So the argument is that she has no such consent, then the lease was out of the rest. A further option would be section 27, subsection 19 of the NARA Act, where SARA may take regulations pertaining to heritage and remedy conditions of heritage site, perhaps obtain a fair market rental through proclamation of regulations. However, SARA would have to show that the reason for drafting regulation of this sort was according to the principles of heritage management and within the general powers and duties of SARA. I.e., is it necessary to obtain a fair market-related rental, since obviously you're not a profit-making organization. And in consideration of these property challenges, SARA is taking all of the above into consideration as the past property management strategy is being finalized. The property strategy will assist in preservation of our heritage for future generations. And then one of the key points that we actually requested to talk to, it was then the protection of heritage assets against illegal export, of which then SARA regulates the movement of heritage objects outside of an issue SA. Application to export heritage objects are made to the South African Heritage Resources Information System, which is the SARIS. And then SARA refused to approve the export of the only known signed copy of the Freedom Charter. Custom has a cooperative governance role to play, which is not yet in place, but processes and motion enter into an MOU with customs to address the gap. And SARA has also adapted a list of types of heritage objects that are protected to include in the SARS prohibited and restricted list. During 2012-2013, SARA received 24 applications for the export of 27 heritage objects, of which 3 penitents were refused. It is then believed that those objects may be illegally exported because customs currently doesn't have the infrastructure in place to prevent such illegal exports. Still talking to the protection against illegal export, in 2013, military object was stolen from a museum in Kimberley, Bloemfontein, and the Karoo. Artworks were stolen in the northwest. The thefts were reported to SAPS, which is South African Police Services, who view these as low priority crime. SARS forwarded the information to the Endangered Species Desk and Interpol for investigation since the decline of the National Plan for the Law Enforcement Against Heritage Related Crime, the NALE. There is coordination of heritage-related crime in South Africa. Although illicit trafficking and thefts from museums form part of organized crime due to gateway infrastructure, heritage objects are wittingly or unwittingly illegally exported by members of the public. One of the points then was the repatriation and protection of travel heritage, of which to talk to those issues, SARA, as the SARA's mandate, is restitution of heritage objects when community or a body with a bona fide interest makes a claim on movable heritage resource as part of the national state and is held by or curated in the publicly funded institution so that I can advise minister who must advise the minister who must consult with Minister of Finance to pay chase or subject to compensation, expropriate any property for conservation or any other purpose under the NARA Act if that purpose is public purpose or if the public interest. SARA is also mandated to repatriate heritage objects which have been removed from South Africa and which SARA considers to be significant as part of the United States. The next topic then is going to the update on the District 6, of which out of the two meetings were held with the CEO of District 6 after the portfolio committee presentation. And the discussion were around the clear demarcation of boundaries because of the capacity or the area being earmarked for the development. And due to the size of the area, there are possibilities of objections and challenges. And they were advised to develop an integrated management plan that will be inclusive of all facets of the area. I think with regards to the appointment of the CEO, one, we have got in a sense as an upon taking up the position to then bring the stability that are actually required within the organization. Hence, when this was actually presented, council then took cognizance to this issue and dealt with the matter vigorously, of which you can then state that since taking office or taking to office, the advent thereof as part of the council resolution, we then supported the fact that this position then should be not an acting position, but a permanent position. Hence, the asset was then advertised for the position. And just to give a detailed background with regards to where the appointment is actually sitting or where it started from to where it's sitting currently. Because as I'm speaking, the process has actually been concluded. And just to give an indication of the vigorous effort that was actually taken by council to then make this matter or to bring it to fruition. Following the event, the REMCO, which is the Remunerations Committee, set around, in fact, beginning of January, following the submissions of the shortlisted candidates, which were then followed by the interviews actually being conducted on the 23rd. Just bearing in mind, members, that everything had to happen within the month of Jan, given that the advertisement only went out around early December. And obviously, given that December being the city season, then everything comes to a halt. So we had to cram everything within the space of January to make sure that this takes effect within the month of January. Because failing which, we then be sitting in a position whereby come end of financial year end, we still are sitting without a CEO, of which it was one of the council's resolution to make sure that this position happens within the time frame as listed. And I was still outlining, the interviews were then conducted on the 23rd of the first month, 2014, which was then subsequently followed by a sitting of REMCO to decide on the final five candidates. And on the 31st, we had our first council meeting for 2014, of which then this matter was then tabled at council to present the final candidate. Of which that was then presented and the final candidate was then endorsed or approved by council. Obviously appreciating the effect of the sensitivity of the matter and we really want to make sure that you're alive the process with. I mentioned that I will then outline in detail with regards to how the council is actually constituted. This is just to give an indication of where we actually came through because of the end term of the previous council being the 31st of July. A new council was then appointed on the 1st of August 2018. And the induction then followed on the 15th of August. And then to constitute the board or the council, at the helm with Mr. Fanny Makanya, coming from the architectural background. And then we've got Ms. Mabato Ramahoshi, who's our acting CEO and head of general strategy. Richard Fowler, who is the chairperson of HR and a member of REMCO. And then you've got Mr. Mukena Mkeka, who is the chairperson of IT and others, who's sitting basically 2 seats away from me. And with Dr. Nuriaken Jovu, who is then the chairperson of the HRM committee, unfortunately couldn't join us for today. And at the bottom, you've got Ms. Rehana Ghani, who is the chairperson of Audit and Risk Committee. And I think maybe just to mention with regards to the composition of the council as well, we took a resolution to make sure that even the chairpersons, they are members of council because of previous experiences that then created problems with regards to making decisions and even representation to council. It was a challenge when we inducted the, question tires of such. So that's why, in terms of the composition, sitting with what sitting with members of council actually being chairpersons of the various committees. And then just to conclude, we then have got Dr. William Lala, who is just a council member. And then we've got Dr. Gregory Houston, who's then seated 3 chairs away from myself, to the right hand side. You then have got Ms. Jean Badges, a council member, and Mr. Jabu Sindani, also a council member. And then to conclude the lead of council, then you're sitting with Mr. Donald Dithole. Just to give you an indication that all provinces thereof are represented, except for North West and Eastern Cape. And Northern Cape. And Northern Cape. I think these were the issues that were raised in the previous reading of the portfolio committee. The process followed by Tara to transfer the movable assets. This then talks to the devolution of SARA when it comes to the provinces. We talked to that, Sarah transferred all computers and vehicles to the press if they were willing to accept, if not, donated to schools and community organizations. Obsolete and untraceable assets were then written off according to the policy. Concerns on the use of contract workers and consultants by Sarah, due to the limited capacity and existing skills level at Sarah. Being a challenge, but the OD process and implementation of the proposed structure, we see that it is actually being a mechanism to turn on the tide. Financial accountability and quest for financial statement by the portfolio committee, accounts were de-recognized and removed from the general ledger. The investment policy ensured minimization of bank charges and better investment without compromising the service delivery. I I think one of the issues of the appointment of the CEO, but I think I've covered that quite sufficiently in my presentation. The other issue was the participation of labor representatives at the portfolio committee, and I think just behind the members of the PC, we got such. In the form of Mr. Simphiwe Yende. And with regard to policies, it was recommended to call all policies rather than continuously developing more. The relocation to Pretoria, though the portfolio committee highlighted that SAR operated like a regional office, not national, due to its location being in Cape Town. However, no further comments were made with regards to the relocation issue. On the issue of properties, I think one of the signal things was high utility bills. And just to address this, we then talking to the water meters being installed to address the high amount paid the upkeep of SARA property.
I think we must just ask here. We can. Okay, well, let's close the question. You can't tell us to break it. We must tell you to break it. Let's just call that issue.
Okay, no question. Okay. Pension. Okay, with regards to the issue of properties, water meters were then being installed to address the high amounts of high amounts being paid for the upkeep of SARA properties. I think that actually emanated from the high bill dedicated to utilities. I think this was just a mechanism to address such. And then the concern raised on tenants that are renting SARA properties for 1 rand per annum and status of such contracts. As previously mentioned, a property set that's actually being looked into, and then it will be finalized in due course. And maybe just a point to highlight, the chain letters were sent to tenants, and only the tenant contacted the property officer. So SARA legal advisor and the officer is engaged the tenants who are willing to pay more and enter into a new lease agreement. I think that I did actually cover it in the presentation as well. This is just to give a bit of elaboration with regards to that status. And then to prevent vandalizing of properties, SARA should refurbish the properties and put them on the rental market. Payment of levies and rates and taxes by SARA for minimal returns on rental was raised as a concern as well. However, the response was that SARA was legally obliged to pay and a strategy was to be developed to provide better returns to cover these rates, taxes and levies. The pyramid then talks to the root causes of the history issues with regards to now getting the disclaimer that we're sitting with. At the epitome of that, one was focusing or looking at the issue of instability of leadership. Hence, the new council then looked at redressing that by bringing stability to the organization, taking into effect the CEO appointment that's currently, that has just actually been concluded. Lack of skilled staff. Lack of policies and procedures, lack of controls over basic daily and weekly and monthly activities. The management conclusion, the year-on-year comparison shows that the agency was receiving unqualified audits as per what the initial size that I indicated, emerging I think from 2009 to 2010. Audit was receiving unqualified for the opinion, albeit the historical corrections that had to be done during the 2012 and 2013 financial year. management and therefore submit that this audit was not a normal audit as demonstrated by the previous disclaimer opinion received. To date, we have made significant progress with regards to improving controls and developing a comprehensive action plan to clear the audit funds. And on that note, can I then thank through you, Chair, the portfolio committee and all the members present for granting us this opportunity to then come and present Sarah's case.
Thank you, Shepard. This is then the members. Okay, members of the PC. Here's a report that has been given by SARS. I think members of the I've been lied down with headache and cramps, but when you said the PC said we said on hold to Pretoria assessment, I don't remember asking. We might have said maybe it was worries at the regional office, but we never recommended anything. We can go back to our minutes as well. I think that must be corrected in the report. We never said that. We might have said we carry maybe like one, but I think we, and we I remember we carried state in the national office, but it doesn't mean that it has to move to Pretoria, because if I remember we asked the justifications, because there are many national offices that are in provinces, because the National Museum, a park of the first state is a national museum. There are different museums in KwaZulu-Natal, but they are in those provinces. Or am I lying, Dr. Chief? But my first issue, I think, basically, is it's very unfortunate, DJ, because one of you might not have told me the truth between me and the minister, because the Portfolio Committee was very clear. That one I remember is in our minutes to say that we were not happy with Advert. I told you, DJ, about December. I was not happy with the SARA Advert because there are certain specifications that were very clear about on the CEO of, or requirements for the CEO of SARA. So when we saw the Advert, I was told it was going to reverse. So now I'm shocked that the interview process went to. I raised to the previous chair, I raised to the PG, and then they said the mic was wrong, so the post to the position was already advertised. So I'm shocked that this country so quickly has raised some of these issues. And it's very unfortunate that the previous council also raised a few issues. And unfortunately, we don't have them in writing. They were raised with me telephonically, which PC is aware about some insubordination of the acting CEO, that she took leave without permission, she went abroad to a film festival without permission from the council. But I said we want those in, we'll request them in writing, because we don't want tomorrow, they said the Portfolio Committee, there are some issues that were raised and they were never addressed. So I think those issues, we would want them in writing as soon as possible. I heard the status of powers, but I must say I'm not the PC with what has been presented, because it's one of the issues that we've been raising as a PC to say that why are some, like you mentioned, Northern Cape, Zimbabwe has no council, Northwest has no staff but represented in the council. I mean, when are we going to get them in? In really in order, how long will that take? From what I would get, to think about the issues of salary benchmarking, it appears that most employees' salaries will be increased. Does the organization have sufficient funds to cater for this in its budget? I think some of the questions that I should ask. I saw there's a lot of light about the illegal exports in what you're raising. I know you are saying that it's hard to say those are minimal crimes. I mean, it's a complete business, you know. I'm not sure about the department, whether you're on your iPhone or the iPad. So I'm not sure what you have to say. Your MOU or a sort of understanding with staff, because you can't say when the artifacts of the country are important, then you say that's a minimal crime when they're stolen. I mean, that's absolutely not as I'm sorry to say that. And I mean, we, as you said in a slide that we've got one copy, we've got one copy and we signed the freedom charter. So I won't say when it's left, then is it not important? It's going to be a minimal crime. That's one of those issues that I should raise. Okay. Just in passing, the issue of David Sterman, how far is it? Because I know Sarah and who's the other one? NAC are part of that. How far is it? Because I remember we made a question, they was the question and all of them in the same venue this day about those issues, because we promised these things will happen as a, you know. And here you are saying, maybe I'll come to your sleeping. You speak about the other place because that would be one run police. And then you got this Gideon and Bowman as a news. But I'm not sure when I was going through, there are somewhere where it says that renewed. But it doesn't state now renewed for how much and for how long. It's missing here on the slide. So I was a bit confused and
yes.
Because as you rectify that, because it's not here, it's silent on what has been raising. Maybe, remember, I know you think I'm being unfair, but I think these are the issues that we've been raising. You know, it's not that I'm taking the whole, I know you've got the questions, you know. And Sarah, you only achieved 43% of your target. So how is the council now planning to improve the scenario? I am not sure, maybe one will correct me here, on the financial issues now, is that in 2012, you advocate, was it, Michelle, was the chair of the audit committee, and this report says that part of the reason the entity received a qualified opinion is because the audit committee was only appointed in November 2013. So it gives me a confusion because, as far as I know from 2012, Sarah had and internal control deficiencies were not identified by the committee. Because if you remember, members, Alfred Michel was the one who even helped us in the committee to even help us recommend the removal of the previous CEO. Because now, if you're saying that it was appointed November 2013, I am a bit confused. Because really, my understanding, there was an audit committee. Now the best part is that Sarah spent over $5 million without deviating from procurement process. Why? And you spend $1 million with only one condition. Why is this the case? Because there's an insurance or a team manager, how this happened under your leadership. Sarah spent $683,000 without following a tender process. Why was that the case? You know, I just have to go quickly again to the other slides. That's my last question, member. On the basis for a qualified objective opinion, I'm just going to go to the other slide to say on the process to date. You say that the AS were not corrected, subsequently corrected to create discrepancies. However, it was they submit the new set to AG. I think even the following paragraph says that. I think personally I have a problem with that because one of the issues when Sarah presented here, Ms. Makanya, when we're not yet chair, was that you have an efficient financial, you know, low credit finance, CFO, Senegam, so, and the team of management. So I don't understand how does that happen. Then that means there's no efficiency or there's no, I mean, if you are there to say we are going to improve, then why are the issues late? So what does it tell us? I think even the whole set of the other people is the same thing. For members to take so long, I had to ask two questions. Honourable members, Honourable Consulate, Honourable Shwana, Honourable Minister Shulani, are you Nikki?
I'm awake.
Oh, it's unlike you. We will pray God. Okay, Honourable Consulate.
Thank you, Jane. I've been mainly covered by your question.
there are certain financial issues, serious financial issues. Now, Section 14.2A of the National Heritage Act requires that council must have among themselves a member with qualification of special experience or interest in finance or financial management. Who has these skills in the current council? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you once again. I have three very short questions. The third one actually will go to your purpose. And I'm trying to check the gender issues. And I'm sitting with a challenge because where you have your doctors, it doesn't tell you if it's a woman. You see? So I may be coming with a question which unnecessarily covers. If I see doctor, I don't say, doesn't tell us whether you are a woman or what. So because of that, I think there is no gender balance. And we have come a long way as a country to ensure that gender balance is a must in this country. Especially because women, you can go to yourself, women are more than men that you know, and we cannot continue to have a lot of men. Yes, yeah, that was the first one. And then, which may be corrected when you unpack your doctors. And the second one, your contract employment. We were sitting with a challenge in this country, and everybody knows this, of employment. And of course, when we say we must understand that we definitely refer to everybody, including myself. If there's nobody helping in the house, I'm out of order. What I'm trying to say is that everybody must participate to ensure that the employment becomes okay. And we're looking at your particular style to have a bigger chunk. And if you talk of contract employment, I become a little bit confused. I know that there must be a contract. Yeah, there is a contract whenever a person is employed, except that the income qualifications, only age will take you out. But if it's your contract, you must unpack, maybe people are there for 2 months or whatever. And then, sadly, somebody spoke coffee to a rate, I think yourself as well. You see, your 1 rand per annum, it runs during a period. You see, the value, the money value, the rent value keeps on changing. If you have come with a decision for 25 years, it's like going through 1 rand. It doesn't say that if 1 rand will be equal to 8 rand after 5 years, then it must be to that particular level. I don't know what, I don't know if that makes sense. What I'm trying to say is that your 1 rand may be unfair, because it will remain 1 rand for 25 years, and the value keep on going down. And what are you doing to the country? And finally, let me pause here.
Thank you for your question. My first observation or remark is that we don't have the pages on this document. It becomes very difficult to say to you all, take such and such a page where I've got this content. Maybe next time when you bring the documents, they must put pages.
She talked to me long ago, you understand that.
Okay, let's look at the page, what is it? Can't even see it. The outcomes, of the first phase of intervention. And then you say in page 35, root cause for issues of issues. I'm not sure in the turnaround strategy how much we have succeeded in the green triangle of lack level control of basic value and monthly lack of policies. How much have we succeeded in getting skilled staff in this organization? Stability of leadership, I think the chairperson has marked a few, given a few remarks about that. And then you also have the, concerns about illegal exports. And then you are saying, start of 624 applications for, what page is that? 25? For 27 heritage objects, of which 3, I can't even see the number there.
permits were refused. It is believed that objects were illegally exported because it is known that customs does not have the infrastructure in place to prevent illegal exports. Now my question is, what is SAR doing to ensure the control systems are developed to prevent illegal and systematic export of South African healthcare? Because there is not that law of theft and what have you, and if there is no, the customs don't have those infrastructure to prevent. What are you doing about it? And what is our duty to ensure that minimum security standards are developed in order to ensure that Pakistan has is not stolen as I'm saying and illegally exported? That's why I'm returning you back to the systems that you are instructing, you say you have developed. But my concerns on those issues. And then in the qualified and qualified audit on page 6, from 4910, 1011, 1112, 1213. It goes back to your challenge that made in order to get an unqualified audit, that your systems should have been strengthened in order to show the kind of strategy. How far are you now for this financial year? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to go back to this stress by properties. I'm actually honest, I'm not sure what's going on there. At one place, you've said that they couldn't reach the tenants and some of them must be evicted. What's the position now from all those properties? Are they going to carry on with that lease agreement for 5 years? I'm unsure what is going on now, and I just want to know exactly and the reason why was it necessary to approach Bellman Group, Fillon, attorneys to look into this contract. I'm very very sure that the legal people of the department or whatever, it's easy, it's straightforward contracts. I don't think it's necessary to go to a rich firm like Roman Gouffin to get an opinion on that. And I also want to know what does it cost. So, and can you give us a copy of this sort of agreement that has been signed with the people or not signed? What's the content? So, for instance, for my 1 rand I pay a year for the next 25 years, I have to do certain things. What must I do? I think they must be the word must. The tenant must look after the property, must pay the rents, whatever. I think there's a lot of uncertainty. I'm not sure what's going on there. Really. Are they going to carry on? I'm not. And if anybody else, was it a contract or whatever, a tender process? So maybe there's other people also wanted to rent that. Why don't I do that? Or you? Or my neighbor? Why those people? Was there a written agreement with the Nationale Monumente Commissie in those years that they can still carry on? I'm not sure what is going on there. And I'm very honest. The media is going to pick up on this issue. They were on this issue last time, and they're going to be on your case again. There's not surety. Thank you. I hope you understand me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for my voice. I'm really concerned, you know, these people asked for this term, 5 years, or this term, about the issue of SARA. They are growing board, raise the issues for them, especially the chairperson. in the old assembly. So they went back and they set up an intervention strategy team to turn around Sarah. They could even so far to appoint a consultant to address the problems in Sarah because of the previous CEO, the CFO, and you can go on and on. And they are appointing the consultant to look into the issues of governance, the assets, the organization development, property portfolio, and forensic audit. I'm not sure if I saw, I don't know, whatever, maybe the house has correct me. Did we saw the forensic audit report as a portfolio committee? If so, then maybe we must relook in the forensic audit report. Jay, my concern is, if this board have appointed a consultant to address the things, the points I raised, why are some still looking like the same? And not a few things have happened on what the previous board was doing to put a task team and also to appoint a consultant. And I was also asking the question, how much is this consultant was costing Sarah if things are still looking the same and not much progress that is begun? So this is my really question. If you go to the AG's report, the AG's report raised many things. For instance, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. I, on the issue of the finance, on the issue of complaints raised in that institute, and targets not to achieve, targets to set by far not to achieve. But then you appoint as a consultant to help in that sense. And you know, we have problems with consultants, but we understand why they appoint consultants because of those positions I mentioned. So those people must be dismissed. Some of them, like the CEO, or those, that's why they put the consultant. Now, my concern is, why are those issues derived? Not like this. I don't see actually the time frame that they actually giving the consultant to addressing those shortcomings that they're talking about. Okay. Lastly, Chase, on the issue of problems not present, or problems not be on track or whatever, or on time or whatever. Chase, we are not here as public reps to come to sit in only the portfolio committee meeting. We have the obligation upon the constitution as MPs to do our oversight work if we like it or not. When we leave the gate of parliament and we go on recess, then you do your oversight work. Now, I have a concern here. We have a lot of old historical buildings where people in their community want to make a change in the people's lives. And the institute, when they were first knocked on the old building, you are there, isn't that so? Well, you can ask if a province is not reorganized, then national office of SARS for a type of province where they are not organized. And for me, it's a disappointment because I'm sitting in National Assembly, not in the provincial legislation. So where I'm getting the answer saying you must go into the provincial, where they're not. You don't know even who to go to in the province. So I think it's where we also help in one and another. But don't push the back to the other person, the another one, the another one. I want to return, I think I said in this meeting, there's two heritage areas in my constituency. And those people are more relevant. The Goederberg in Witwater. Look, I can say the poor people, you can't come to us, you must go to the province and blah blah. Well, you know, the Indian government is saying that there's no provincial or whatever. So, Chair, I'm the reason to make us get our house in order. If we must keep messages out there, we must keep quick messages. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Just
one thing. It has been mentioned by yourself, Chairperson, and other members. This lease and rental amount. On page 13, Chairperson is tabled. Who are you negotiating with for new lease and agreements with those tenants? And then the next page you are talking about the rental fee, the sum of 100 a year payable annually. The assumption might be maybe the new negotiation with those tenants, you are still basing your rental on that sum of 100 annual. That is what I'm trying to pick up. Which this committee has raised a concern related to that 100. So what is your response to this? Because when I look into, you only indicated that in the right spring, you are still negotiating with the tenants. But you are still basing your arguments, as I've indicated. So what is the use of negotiating again with basing your rent on the same rent, one rent annual? Unless if I don't understand the content of the particular statement. The second one, literally, okay, before the last one, Chair, you what is that page again? Page 18, position of tenants.
Others
are unable to reach them. It's still a concern if tenants are not found. Maybe in the property trust is being active as we are speaking. If it is in the property and then you say the tenant is not found, what action have you taken so far so that we know exactly, or you know exactly, if she's not there or she's not there, what next? Is the property alone, or etc., what are you doing there for? Because we're trying to rectify this kind and this position. The last one, it's not even a concern, but as a layman, really, you talk to the technical people, and they switch words like tell them. On page 29 or 28, you are putting it right here, and you explain it more than in your presentation. You put it here, but now when I read this is the appointment of the CEO, I'm going forward and backwards and making a second in my mind. But if, with your clear explanation, coming Mother Earth, literally, so that we can understand you, all of us. The contract of the acting CEO was extended to the 30th April 2014. I'm trying to read it as it is and what you have said. An appointment of a new CEO is to be completed by 31st January 2014. And you said so. To me, can we talk it, you know, as I'm trying to bring it down to say literally, what does it mean? And you have, in your introduction, if you introduce a team, you also indicated you still have an acting CEO. Am I reading it correctly? When I compare it to the statement that you just said, maybe the CEO has already been appointed, it's only the processes that is there. But literally, can you tell us, because it has been a concern since last year in this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable member, is there another member that feels that there's something that she left to be left? I'm calling away pitching the advert. Then, start out with answer. Mr. Matanya, it doesn't need to be you and the CEO. There's a lot of executive members that you brought here. Sorry. So, I'm going to pass the pen to the other. There's fresh tea if members or anyone wants to and just take your chair or who you're selective.
It was my understanding that the advert, in fact, there was a first advert and there was a second advert which was done for the SARS-CoV-2 job. And that was corrected, and it was on the basis of it that the council continued to proceed to the interviews. You do that, DJ.
Okay, can I give you a 10-minute break then? Then we'll come back, then we can answer. Yeah, I can see now, no one is going to break in. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the next one. Probable by name or also the absent.
Someone that you can
If there's a space in Alapa, I will serve. I want the gentleman just from the union just to people follow committee as well as the world. You see, one of the things is that like the current problem that we have with Pulp, I hope members of the sisters. This is worse than hell from Pulp. One of the issues that we're having currently is the CEO coming to lie here or and say labor forums were met, we are meeting monthly, and then after then a bomb like this, they come out. And then they go to the media and some of us can't be lenient, unfortunately, on those issues. So you want to demonize for speaking here? This is South Africa, the procedure of the constitution, where is that rule that I normally use? Where is that rule book? Why is there that you can say anything, it won't be used against you as Donald Sarah? Even if there's nothing, no one can come and coach you and say you said the portfolio committee will protect you. So you must speak the truth. If you don't meet, there's no labor for you. Then let the new person, you must have the truth. I just want an understanding. Well, tomorrow we don't want a lender. Thank you. That is the portfolio committee so that you can understand. This is a change.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, I would like to indicate how grateful we are to be present in the committee to fully represent issues of this staff. Secondly, I mean House of Chair.
Okay.
Yeah. I was only informed more partner that I should be here, so I was not prepared for this meeting. I did not prepare anything, I just got my book that is there, so I will be responding to what I need to. But I think to give you the background, Chairperson, in terms of what happened regarding the relationship between the how and the prime management. On the 30th of April, we signed the recognition agreement. That was last year. We signed the recognition agreement. Thereafter, the relationship was good. We were holding the meeting with ECA, with ECO. That was before the appointment of the HR executive. The last agreement that we signed, the last collective agreement that we've come to was only the wage agreement. Thereafter, we've been having meetings, and from those meetings, there's been no collective agreement, per se, which have been reached between the ENHAU and the SAR. That means that we will be negotiating issues. In terms of conditions of service, it has been said several times that the turnaround has been done now. Now the focus is going to be on the human capital, but we've not seen that sufficing. I think that must be known because it has been also raised in the meetings which we've been holding with the HR executive. HR executive, I don't recall Mr. Hughes when he started at SARA on August. When Mr. Hughes started in SARA in August, then the meetings were only held between ourselves, the union, and him with the HR. From those meetings which we've been holding, there's been no sort of agreement which has been forthcoming. And just to say, the big issue is the relocation issue. That is the issue that we've been discussing in most, which is holding most of our meetings. And I think it was also presented, and I'm sure the middle is going to be discussed, as it was discussed also that year when in the last meeting, the last briefing by who checked it of the river's concern.
Do you sit in
interview?
No. Why not?
It's an issue which I also did raise in the meetings with the HR, but we were informed that we will only sit in meetings for the junior staff members, both in sitting.
Shepard, just to respond to that, yes, we did agree ever since that I started there. We agreed, and part of the recognition agreement was that Labour would sit into interview up until a certain level. We haven't been being much.
There's no law.
Legislation to say. Because it was part of the agreement that you signed with him.
Well, what thing about the law now? The law doesn't say that.
No.
So what do you have to do with your own law?
No.
Don't do things that are illegal in front of it. The law is very clear. So why don't you minimize union, completely minimize the law? Or they just sit at any level. Here you need parliament, they sit at any level. Do you want to see the government? So I don't know where that comes from. Because in South Africa we deal with the law. That's how we discriminate our own people. Yes, it is a celebration. You might do that too. And I just want to conclude. So this is the meaning I got.
I currently the laws are the only
form. But those are the only major issues at this stage. As I'm saying, we do have meetings, but we don't have any collective agreement. And I think when Mr. Hughes said that, there were so several issues which I raised with him that needed to be addressed, both policy-wise and also procedure-wise. Currently, we do recruit, and our employment equity, we don't have employment equity plan, and all and those things which are key. You know, in terms of us running the industry, and also taking an example as a public institution. So those are things which we do, which we do raise in the monthly things.
When you say employment equity, can you explain the number?
The employment equity edge.
Yes, well, what do
you mean? It does typically, one of the issues which women raise here, which is talking about the issue of each other, so, and also raise any form of discrimination. It is a guiding tool, because we're not going just to be selecting individuals or just only the qualifications. There are so many things which we need to consider, especially regarding the special cities and frontier groups. So we do not have that kind of system, and it's something which I really thought it can be in line with the OT process. So that when we implement a new structure, we also do have the equity, all groups being represented in the organization. But that's just I think one of the few.
Is there
a part
of this,
according to you? No.
I'm asking you to now. I want to see what you can get to me, what you can get to me.
I think when actually it's 50, in some cases you get people who are from outside, but it's only one or two from Umi Ukasi, there's Umi, and there's also Sean Berry, who are now managers. And there's also Ulula. But I think in terms of upward mobility, because we do go to interview, we do compete. Because when you're talking about it, you also look at development, which is like within the institution. And we do not have such a development standard. It will enable us, people like me who have been in Sana for 8 years, to be somewhere today. We don't have. No. No, we do not have. And those are all things which we started only discussing when we were doing work that we were established as the Employment Equity Forum. So if we had all of those things running inside, because I think we started and then we I'm not sure we would like just discontinued or still going to continue.
Okay, I will help you now.
Yes, ma'am. I'm waiting for the outcomes of the forensic audit, because I understood that this was going to be part of the forensic audit. So I'll see from the outcomes of the forensic audit, but it is late, it's not been resolved.
Okay.
Why is it not resolving? I'm not a person.
Okay, Chairperson, after the Benas meeting, it was discussed in council, and the resolution council was that Dave Michel and CQ meet, and Dave Michel didn't want to meet with CQ because, as far as concerned, the report that he submitted was that during the audit in 2011-2012, CQ was not at work. As a result, when he was asked why we asked a problem, the audit finding said they could not, the manager responsible was not available. Now, council wanted them to talk and register, sorry, it didn't happen. So I ultimately had a discussion with him to say, let's just wait for the forensic. And then the forensic will be the one absorbing him. Because it was like, the audit chairperson feels that it is clear in the audit finding, the majority of the assets they could not account because he was not at work. And that's what he said in the newspaper.
And so, from my side, the one from the table, those were questions that you must ask. My understanding, the last meeting that we had, not the last, but one that we had at the lockdown. All of them, if you remember, we discussed it. And the previous chair of council said, oh, this issue is resolved, and you know, it was like a done deal. We apologize, and who else will apologize? So I'm still surprised that that has not been corrected. You remember Owen Moss? Yes. Yes, Mayukumbo? Anybody alone? Yeah, and then I met him on the side. I met Mayukumbo on Kojo on the side, and Dr. Fikens. And it was a lot that this issue would be resolved. But it's fine. I think Baba, we gave you that. Now let's go back to I think the issue that he raises, I may be concerned about them, but yes. Members, answers before break. Order.
Chair, through you. Maybe let me just outline the questions and the one that you particularly raised with regards to the relocation of offices. Let me just put it on record that during the previous council meeting, which took place on the 31st, that issue was actually raised, and even prior to that, in December, I took it upon myself with regards to, in fact, in conjunction and in consultation with council to have a what you call a staff meeting, which then gave an opportunity for the council and even the staff members to meet. I did address that issue during that staff meeting to confirm that the issue will actually be handled and dealt with by council. And subsequent to that, on the 31st of Jan 2014, which was last Friday, that matter was actually then raised. So the resolutions that were taken on that matter was that since it was indicated on the APT, we took it upon ourselves to say that matter actually should come off the APT because it can then result into one of the disclaimers, and a task team will then be formulated with regards to dealing with that matter. And that was in view or in light of avoiding such issues as corridor discussions on such matters because it got a negative impact even the staff. So the matter of the location has since been put forward to council and will be dealt with by council. And until such time something comes out from council to say this is how we are going to deal with this matter, no relocation with that regards will actually happen. That's where we stand with regards to that issue. And maybe then talking to the issue of secondly the deal that was taken by the CEO. In an absence of the information that was made available to myself, but as one of the key things or key elements of taking up such an office, and then requested that a leave policy be made available during the our first council meeting for this year. So the leave policy document was then distributed to the council members for the perusal thereof, of which my take on the matter was that the leave policy as it says, it's not actually aligned with regards to the employment relations, because it actually states currently that the CEO can request leave from a subordinate, i.e. a CFO, of which that cannot be the case. So in reviewing that matter, in terms of protocol requirement, one takes into cognizance that that issue then is supposed to be in this manner. I mean, the highest accounting officer with regards to the organization, of which the CEO should then request such approvals, is through council. So the council's resolution was that, in the meantime, because there's a system that they actually use, I'm not quite familiar with the type of system that they use, but it's an electronic system that is within the organization. And since council members are not on the system, we will still use a manual way of applying for leave, which is basically a leave template that will then be signed for approval or disapproval of the leave of the CEO in terms of going forward.
I think to ask that there was no police in alignment. Members, maybe it's me, maybe I think we should put that for a minute. I thought when the new acting CEO came, there was a, this was when I managed by change management. What honorable member was raising that there was a, what change management issue. So are you saying to listen to me, those are not done. But secondly, I'm sorry to you, I have to put you on the spot. Now, are you saying to us that she received the leave from the junior or she never took it? Because what came to us was that she left insubordinately without taking it. And understand the teaching, whether the police bonus is there or not, if you're an CEO or acting CEO, council must give you permission. In such a certain way that in this, council must give you permission to leave. I know, but in this call of course, nobody will talk. No. I want us to be ready here. You see, if you are, you must also clarify us here. Even if someone in LG, I will tell the board of authority, I was and I am. So I will correct that in a thought. You know, because you see, like, why I'm in charge of things, because I don't want you to leave yet with something that is recorded that in the future you cannot. Without it, I don't need to judge. I think that there's no media today. Otherwise, that would have been a story of a lesson. Why not? Oh, how do you hear? My name is Lonis. How are you, my friend? Are the best time to still do things well? You understand that members, I think I'm being said to you also, because these are some of the issues that have been causing problems in the hippies. Just a quick question to clarify and then we'll go to the other question.
Chairperson, what has happened last year? Mm-hmm. Before I took leave, I spoke to the chairperson of the previous council. I spoke with the chairperson, and the chairperson then writes a letter to HR to say in the absence of Mr. Ramaphosa, Toronto will end. Because before that happened, the chairperson always appoints somebody to act in my absence. Now, that was approved. Now, when I came back, then there were issues that came in that portfolio committee that we addressed between me, you, and Madam Moss. And then he said, now write another, fill another form. And I said, why now? Because now there was a new contract that was, but there was never a leave that I took
that there was no letter written to say in her absence. I mean, that record can be told. In her absence,
no, no,
we do have that record.
So,
no, it was a, for me, it was a personal issue.
Okay.
No.
If you have that opportunity,
yes, but I think company secretary can please send all the letters of yes, because all those are available.
No, that's what we wanted. For the portfolio committee,
very clear. Okay, maybe it's just too.
No,
so,
I wanted you to
yes.
Say your name here.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so I'm happy now if you say this is a record.
But maybe to tell to indicate what the chair was saying, that you do not have the same problem going forward.
Okay.
Because even though I would write an email to tell to say I'm leaving and that was somebody else,
yeah.
That going forward, let us have an old system where you write an approval time. Because there's no way that I can go without the chair first thing, yes, and approve somebody else. But it was like a resolution of last week.
And because I mean the situation is very systematic everywhere, whether it's private or government, although they have different forms and I just wanted to get that clarity. Can you continue the question? I think the book critical one that matters. You don't need to answer our interpreters.
No.
There is a disparity from here to there. So,
fightable.
Because the matter which you want to afford because you are chair, and to be here, that we are you, so we can't be fine on you. There is a like 2, 4, 3, 8, 10, or sorry, the person, Mother Hendrix. Share the question that we have to go and see them to I think
that
I'm
going to
ask
you
know
who can answer
and I
believe
in
both
of us. Can I ask a question about the person in the community in this country with the financial skills? Ms. Rihanna Ghani is the president of the Risk Committee. She's not a person.
Thank you, honorable members. Can I start? Because when the questions were asked, I think honorable members are feeling uncomfortable that there's nothing happening and going to what Ms. Moss are saying. Maybe just to give context that the audit that the members have is the audit for financial year 2012-2013. And 2012-2013 ended in March 2013. Therefore, everybody around this table, some of them had 3 months, I had 5 months. So we were doing an audit of the work that was available. And further, the audit also was, we were looking at a disclaimer. Now, in a disclaimer, if you look at the slides that the chairperson has there, we had an audit of 3 years that we had to correct in 4 months. And that in itself is what is being seen in our report. However, the AG has even indicated that even though we had such short time, the consultants that came assisted us to move from a disclaimer to a qualification. And if you look at what we qualified on, our management report for the first time, I think the CFO will talk about it. Even though we had a short period of correcting a 3-year audit, we managed to move away from the disclaimer. We had a qualification. And we had no finding on the predetermined objective. With that, we cleaned. And if you look at the finding on compliance that we have, it was only 5 things that if we had time, because by the end of the audit, when we wanted to submit, the cut date was very late, end of May, so they could not take the head of time. So I think in terms of what is happening, the audit that's coming 2013-2014 will be the audit of this administration around the table, because then they will have a whole year of correcting the imbalance. I think I need to pass that in terms of context, because that budget is critical. The issue of the lease, of the 1 rand,
No, go ahead.
Yes.
I mean,
okay. when we came to Parliament and realized that that has been an issue that was of concern to us. And ultimately, I think, based on the information that we have in SARA, number one, I think all of us should understand that SARA's record keeping is non-existent. When we told that people are paying one rent, after that protocol committee, we went out, got our legal person now to go and send it out to everybody else to say we are cancelling the leases, you can't continue with the leases. We now got the contract that the leases signed with NLC, and that contract is what was in the finding of Bauman Gilfillan, that they were given one rent for 25 years. The same contract says renewable for another 25 years. So actually, say to them, you've got 50 years that you can get this property without anybody interfering. It even gives them the attitude of instead feeding the lease to a friend or somebody else. Now, those that you can find, most of those apartments, I mean houses, are holiday homes. These people have houses somewhere else. So they go there for holidays. They are all held over the hands of the kind of family. There's an individual that came to present to us. He's the one actually who made us realize that. He said, if you push, I can give you this property because my wife doesn't want to go there. But we only come there during holidays. So, but his issue was that they spent money renovating the property. And we then, the spending money renovating the property, they had been 5 years to enjoy what they have, and yeah. Now they renewed the contract, because those that have been renewed now by SARA, by NMC. In 2006 and 2008, SARA also continued saying, okay, we can continue with the same 5 years. And I think this is where the challenge comes now. What we are looking for, as I'm saying, the challenge of SARA is that they do not have documentation. What we are looking for now is a letter from a minister. And because most of the properties are in, actually they are provincial properties, so we are looking for a letter from a minister who gave NMC the mandate for them to use this property. If that is not available, then you can go the route of the contract as well. Unfortunately, the court for now, because there is a contract, wrongly or not, we need to hold that until we get to the bottom of the matter, because they were given a 35-year lease for 100 per annum. Most of them have paid that for the 25 rent. Yeah, they paid for 25 rent, they did, yeah, to start. Yeah, they pay, I mean, it's 75 rent for 25 years. Yeah, that's the bottom line. And who is sitting there, I think that is the issue that cancer at the moment that we had it. The strategy has been finalized. Because it's a heritage property, we wanted to ensure that the heritage property benefits South Africa, not individuals. So they are now finalizing the strategy in terms of reform.
Mr. Chair, can I make a contribution? When we reviewed the original documentation, it was quite clear that the original agreement, the spirit of it, was essentially to dispose of the assets with the view to letting people take care of those properties. Some of these properties have been taken care of, they're in good condition. Our argument as counsel and our recommendation to yourselves is that the spirit of that mandate has been fulfilled, the buildings are in good condition, there is no reason that we should continue to allow state assets to be used for private benefit. So one of the other options that we have said is that we want to pursue how these buildings can be used for the public good, whether that is for tourism, educational purposes, etc. So what is absolutely inaccurate about the document, it implies that we're negotiating with them in the spirit of continuing on the one-land basis. That is not the case. We as SARA want to make a recommendation that all of these buildings should be publicly accessible, publicly usable, but it's an issue of how these buildings will be managed and maintained in the interim period, because we do not have facilities management capacity as an organization. So therefore, part of the strategy has been to suggest to a potential tenant that if building X is now for public access, public use, etc.,
and they agreed to take on the role of a sort of facilities manager at market-related rates, which also generates revenue for us. That is a conversation that you can have. But it is not about continuing a lease for an individual to have a holiday home. There is something that I have to mention, that summarily cancelling or terminating these leases should also not turn into a liability for us in terms of these buildings falling apart in the interim period. Hence the approach of taking the proclamation of regulations, hence the approach of saying these are now public buildings, hence the approach of giving them the opportunity to participate in the SARA mandate as opposed to the NMC mandate. I just wanted to reiterate that we are 100% at idem with the honorable members that we find these clauses onerous, unfair, and not in the spirit of the new South Africa. But at the same time, we wanted to avoid a class action suit, which our lawyers did alert us to, that if we are not careful, the 9 properties could come collectively, produce a class action suit, and go actually to the media and state that we are outside of our mandate in terms of the properties. So we are exercising caution at all junctions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Makeda. With regards to David Stillman, the NEC have been busy trying to locate the remains of Mr. Stillman. I think they now find a difficulty because they cannot locate the exact place where he was buried. Now, the decision that they've taken is that now they are looking at a symbolic repatriation of the spirit, because that is something that is doable. There have been some research that indicate that where he was buried might be now a railroad. So because that's going to be, in other words, it's going to be expensive just to find out where the building is. So I think that the symbolic repatriation is what they're looking at now to bring the spirit back to South Africa.
Is
there something that comes to that? Advocate Mangosa has been in contact with him. Around the police committee being dysfunctional, even though Advocate Mitchell was there, for 4 to 5 months, he and Advocate Guy Singh were only two people, so there was no committee. The committee became functional after appointment of Mayor Ruth and I think two other council members towards the end of the year. So there were two people. A lot of the audit members resigned because of functional. Hence the age is indicating that it was dysfunctional. The gender balance in the council, all of those tasks are male. So there are 2 women in council, that was raised also in the beginning. 3 women versus, yeah. And I think the challenge that... Yeah, it was.
No, it's not. It's not, honorable members. It's the applications that we received. You know, when we appointed this council, we appointed about 3 or 4 councils during that period. And actually, we were scrambling. We were looking for women, for other people who are actually applied to serve in other councils so that we can actually point them into the SARA council. And it was a challenge. So I think it was the applications that were not there. And most of the people actually were applied for other institutions like Iziko, the Tong, and so forth and so forth. So the representation there is much better than here.
To indicate that first, there are 9 council members who represent provinces. They come by virtue of being 10% of provinces.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find the biggest challenge, because almost all provinces except Eastern Cape has their meals. So those nine come, and then there are five ministerial appointments. So it's the nine from the provinces and the ministers appointing. And
I'm talking to the ministerial appointments. The other ones appointed at province level by the premiers. So we actually provided with the name of a person to come and serve in council. So now if you look at the whole council, you'll find that there's a huge one in terms of gender balances. So we are confronted with those challenges.
I was just trying to make the remark that if we don't want to come back and MP again, as women can apply for those.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I'll support that. Why not? Were you that bad? No, you weren't. So.
Yeah, no, and with regards to contract employment, when we had dealt with the turnaround process, there was no capital for permanent positions on the organogram. Therefore, we needed contract people to come and assist, but they're not part of the establishment. So they just came to assist with the turnaround term on 6 months and others 1 year contract. So the contract, the non-permanent position. Now, the new organogram that has been developed as part of the OD process, at the moment, it's not as yet funded. We've just analyzed with the OD process, and we are costing the positions, then that is going to treasury for approval. Now, I think the biggest challenge that we had was discussing with Mr. Sakiwa and DG that with the cutting of costs across board, we're not sure whether the ideal organization that we have will be funded because they're cutting costs everywhere. And that for us is critical if we want to continue, to finish further the 360 degrees, because those are the skills that we need for Sarah to change.
Thanks, Chair, Honorable Members. I'm going to respond on the regular expenditure matter that was raised by the Chairperson. I don't have an annual report in front of me, but I know that there's an amount of 7 million which was raised in the current year under review that was 2020. That amount, actually 4.5 million of that amount related to the flywheel invoices. It's mostly the irregular expenditure that was incurred in prior period. So as and when we incur expenditure, that expenditure becomes irregular. And that is the process that we are engaged in now to ensure that we get condemnation retrospectively. But for 2013, we did not have anything that was new except the recurring irregular expenditures. In terms of the late admission of the AFS, we were extremely under pressure to conclude a 3-year audit within 4 months. Now, we had an arrangement with the AG after we submitted the financials that we could still change the step. But now, because of the many errors that came from the prior period, if you look at the disclosure notes that they are referring to, it's more prior periods than current. So if those prior period changes and try to comply also with REF, because the previous disclaimer was also predominantly around compliance with REF. And that was the challenge. When we concluded the final set on the 5th of July, then the AG refused. They said, this is our cutoff. We are not going to take any revised set. And that's the situation we found ourselves in at that point, because it was more disclosure notes rather than the content or the face of the financial statement that was incorrect. And it was unfortunate that if they accepted the financial statement, we would have definitely come out with an unqualified audit report. And with regards to plans now to ensure that for the 13-14 we get an unqualified audit, there is a lot of progress on the audit action plan in terms of the activities that we have been engaged in, reporting also to DEC and to Council.
We have also acquired a system in December called CakeWare. That system is used also by the AG to generate the financial statement. Because the issue of capacity still remains. We haven't concluded the OG, therefore we haven't added any additional skilled people within the finance and SCM to assist in changing the situation. Whatever that we are doing now is things that we are doing with the little capacity that we have. So we started training and working on the opening balances from the previous year on this case system. And we hope that with the cleaning up that we did on the GL, we should be able to produce our financial statements compliant with RAF, and because most of the corrections were done already. So it will be easier for us to just make a few of the changes that are outstanding. On the assets, there were issues around the assets that were, that could not be verified, the assets that were sitting in the warehouses. A project was undertaken by Property, Corporate Services and us in terms of transferring some of the assets to the trust. Limpopo and the others are almost completed. Once we transfer all the assets and see the asset register and the systems and controls that we have put in place in terms of managing the assets, we are hopeful that the report should reflect a better result. From what we have given the AG and our interaction, they are not yet panicking to say, you know, we may not be able to get an unqualified audit report. Obviously, some of the controls are get limitations because of the segregation of duties and the fact that when you look at our supply chain management unit, we are still having contract workers and we don't have your qualified SM practitioner. And this is a process that is that will be concluded once we get funding of the final structure is now implemented.
Can you respond to the prevention of illegal exports?
Yeah, well, what has happened in the past, we used to have an association, a forum, called the National Forum for Law Enforcement Against Heritage Objects. Now, that was called the by the department. Unfortunately, that board is no longer in existence. What we're then doing is to try and train heritage inspectors either in the courts or at the airport so that they identify some of these objects. Mm-hmm. It's not every common person or person who's in the court will understand a culturally significant object unless they are trained on the significance of that. And we are about to sign an MOU with SAPS and also with the customs as well, so that then we have training sessions for the people who are manning these ports and airports. When it comes to the issue of IPRAS again, it's only the MEC that appoints IPRAS. If the MEC does not appoint, USARA has to appeal the minister to tell the MEC. Last year, CEO and the chairperson went to NINEC, where all the MECs were present. All of them promised us that they will appoint IPRAS. Up to date, the provinces should not have IPRAS. Only yesterday, then we heard that you know, two of the family appointed IPRAS, and that person will be sitting in some council. Sadly enough, the most successful PRA in the country, Heritage or Sanctuary, they are not represented in SARA Council, which is a shame, and something that maybe the government should take up with it. I'm not sure what this is. I don't know how to comment on that. Yeah. And then, when it comes to I've spoken to the people over there. Unfortunately, that Heritage site is a provincial competence. Now, I've sent them to the province to say that it's the people that you must talk to. And Councillor Moses. Honorable Moses just spoke to me to say maybe USARA must assist by going and explain to the community that it's not a SARA competence, it's a provincial competence. Otherwise, we'll be found hunting if we did the issue. Well, I think those are the issues that I thought I should say as well.
Okay.
The outstanding one was the salary benchmarking. That as part of the OT process, what we did, we looked at other heritage agencies and see how we can ensure that we attract people because of salary, but also keep the ones that we have. So we did that benchmarking, and we have put our, we've costed that. However, at the moment, it does not say that we'll get money immediately. Look at such as not saying no. Because when we look at NXT, we look at Robin Island and see
the arbitration part, but also the heritage officers part, and say, are we paying our people at the same rate as other heritage agencies? So we've done that. Now that needs to be added, and this is where the department has to assist. And there's a governance person who always tells us there's no money, but that exercise has been completed. So once the budget is being funded, then there will be changes in terms of service of members.
Okay. Final time was up first, and then on will and if there is any follow up.
Yeah, she has a remaining for the initial follow up. You see, it will like appear there is some I'm like possessed on the team of fans. Maybe I need to give you a background. My brother, born 6'5" boys one day. I grew up with me, so I had to fight to be where I am. And I want the whole world to do the same. The response that came through that looking for males, even to my teacher here, looking for males to men. I said, where are you going? Isn't it? Because it's like you are giving responses as still looking for men to can men. And now, if you reported someone, can hear yourself saying that. I'm saying, let's change the mindset. Because we can talk and about this gender thing, and you think it's not that until you know. I'm trying to say, put on the shoe that you don't have good voice. If you don't have good voice, I'm not only like, I grew up with boys. And you have learned to fight, if you know what I mean, and all those things. And in South Africa, we know that many people who are taking care of their children and everything, because you can be a mother and a father disappears. You can't run away from your child. You kill the child, and the child will grow at the end of the day. So that we end up with a lot of women taking care of children, and while the other people are free. And like I say, the mindset from your side must change, so that whatever you do, it must be gender relevant. If that's a problem, because you are responding that I'm yes, this thing, we are looking for men to mend this thing we are in. That's okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. If I heard correctly, I didn't receive a direct answer on the cost of the Bowman View film question. And then, Jefferson, I want to elaborate further on this whole thing. From the outset, it looks very easy. But I think it's more intricate as we think. What we have here is an agreement, a contract, between two parties. Say, for instance, the Monument Committee that represented the state at that time, and the individuals. So as we know, also word of mouth is also a contract. But I'm a layman on this whole thing. This whole issue is on the what you call an Afrikaans contractereg. But I want to know, what is the value of a agreement that was between the Dutch states, the apartheid state, and the Monument Committee? There were certain laws in act at that specific time that discriminated against people. So my question is that laws also valid today, because inherently it was discriminatory? It discriminated between people, and they could not take part in that agreement. We've got a new constitution at this time, etc., etc. We've got a new dispensation. So I'm just asking myself, you are afraid of, for instance, a class action. But I think we have to dig in deeper in this whole issue. You are worried about class action. But I think there's more to this whole thing. And I don't think the department or Sarah must be afraid now for class action. We've got different laws, but I think your law advisors must dig very deep in this thing to look at the status of that agreement in the apartheid years and what we now have. I think this is the logic behind the whole thing, and maybe that will bring us nearer to a solution of this whole thing. I am from the viewpoint that the state must, you know, they must abide to contracts. If they say, yes, we go on, that's fine. But the status of things can be changed, and I'm not sure, because I'm a layman, I'm just asking you to ask your legal guys to get into the thing. And I think we must dig in Parliament's law advisors and everything, but please answer me, Bowen Gilfillan, what does it cost to ask them a question that can be easily asked for any lawyer inside the practice of the state? Thank you.
That was a good question.
Very good. Anyway, Nick, you stop laughing on the desktop. Don't repeat what is our current partners doing public works, because they have also leases of their buildings. When the lease has expired and they decide they not renew it, and that building is standing there empty, and at the end of the day, over 2 years, not even 2 years, over 6 months, and you see the roof is gone, the window frames, paint is gone, everything is gone, then it's more worse. So I can tell you, I just warning Sarah not to repeat what public works doing. I mean, I can see in the coastal areas where those factories standing there, buildings, who belong to the fence, who belong to education, who belongs to, I mean, to carbon structures, those buildings is built to be valorized. I mean, it's a waste of money where people can use those structures productively.
So for the whole chamber, that's a different issue. That was a different issue. I've got another fundamental question that I've asked. This is a different issue.
I don't know if all of you are going to be in this meeting where the CEO explained and the chairperson explained and also the gentleman who sits next to the CEO. Where they explain what can they do in the future, and maybe it's the thing that they will still work on, or maybe to the host structure of housing or whatever you name it, can they maybe use for the tourism in the future or what on and on. But my point is for them to take in consideration that they not repeat what public works is doing. The year they, when they leased, expired those buildings. They didn't extend the lease. And then those buildings came empty, and some of those naughty ones come and they destroying those buildings. That's why they're trying to
No, we have started. I thought that you didn't release for today.
No.
Let's just say, I think, Commissioner Keke is said that they don't want these buildings to be liabilities again to then again, Sarah. And I think your question, but what Honorable Moss is saying is that what Public Works did by the buildings, it must not happen to Sarah as well. But Honorable Moss is also saying is that certain people of other races must be able to access these buildings, like me. I never knew anything about it. But if not, then they can be used as an element of tourism so that it should not be a liability to Sarah, but also an income generating, they can be used income generating to Sarah. I'm not sure whether I've captured you correctly. And what I'm saying is that is also saying something different as well, including asking the cost of those, and also thinking about you, you spoke in Africa as well, nationally Muslim, whatever, I don't get it. And I don't know.
please, man, I'm pregnant now. I'm no longer this young. So you're going to make me give my labor. So,
I'm not pregnant.
So I can
help.
Can you? Hey, babe, but I know if you let me.
We're going to break, so they can't do that to
you. Yeah, but hey. I don't know. Can we've got, I think we've at one are supposed to be finished. Can we just answer those last two questions, then we can close. Hey, that's confusion. Hey, guys.
With regards to the cost,
I can't hear the
with regards to cost of the legal opinion talk, I will go back to the office because it's my unit that is dealing with the letter. So I will share the exact cost and I will send them when with the letters that I promised to send for the OC.
When?
It will be today, sir. Oh. Because we don't have now the figures of our heads. But we'll check when once we get to the office.
You
have to
I mean, I agree with your sentiment. That's what also concerned the challenge, even the previous council. That there's no way that people can want to continue staying in one rent houses, utilizing policies about it. That means we need to be talking about it. So that's why we're pushing it so much, and we wanted to find out actually what can we do to get it out of the houses. And everything, I think there are four people who realize that this thing is a scandal, and they said they are willing to renegotiate. It's only these other three who were saying they're not going to engage with us. And the three that can be found, because everything is building houses. When the sheriff went, there were no people, so we don't know where they are. And every those, it is when we are going to take over and as part of that. And yes, we are taking into consideration that if we leave them vacant, already we've got experience with some of our houses where we've chased out the lessees and houses are now coming vandalized. So we think that is an issue. So yes, we will currently get the freelancing. We need to send an SMS to the office. So we're waiting to get a response at the period. If not, once she responds to the chair, then it will come with that figure of how much they paid the students.
And can I just get clarity on this? Unsolved people. I'm not getting more. Are they missing? Are no contacts? Do you still have access to the houses? I just want to get a clarity.
When the sheriff went there, I think must serve someone. So they just found this house that is vacant. Maybe they're Europe. They just have those as a building house. So they've been going there and they just find a locked house. So they can't locate the people who are going to the house.
So they have not removed
it. For me?
What our legal team is doing is to set the tracing agent on them because the letters have come back. So the tracing agent has been contacted to follow them up, and if we can't find them up in a certain period, then we will have no choice but to terminate the leases with the night court.
I think I heard the acting CEO saying that there are those who said in 2006 they have renewed their contract. What's going to happen for 50 years or for 25 years? What intervention are we going to do for those ones who say, right now we found out we have already renewed the contract?
They whatever intervention they are going to take as part of that, whether they renew or not, once we're saying now this is what we want this house, then this homes to function. If you want it for tourism, it includes them, whether they renew or not, because it's not just like this is a national estate. Yeah.
understand. Vision, thank you. I just wanted to make a point of clarity. The SARA legal team actually did the first investigation. They only went to Bowman and Ruffelman to get a second opinion. And it was on that second opinion that there was a slight difference in terms of the liability that is exposed to SARA, particularly on the issue of what's called the successor. And then the fact that the current minister assumes the liabilities of the previous minister, and that triggers different options for consideration for us. So we did not go to Bowman and Ruffelman first. There was an internal process. We double-checked. And a slight nuance was added into it, just for the record. We didn't go to Bowman and Ruffelman at first shot.
I think we're done, members, on those digitals. I have to say.
Maybe just a quick word of advice on this thing. It would be useful to also consider the provisions of the PFMA as well as the Treasury regulations. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, you cannot list property, government-owned property, at least at market rates. But that's a PFMA provision. So I think in resolving this, it would be useful to consider that as well.
And members, I think basically we are done, and with all that has been said, I think I won't say I'm 100% satisfied, but I think I see that something has been done. And I think just a few comments before, I'm still on the chair and I'm still talking. And I think one of the things is that some of the issues that we have raised here are issues that you must take forward. Especially with the unions, you know, and labor. I was once a worker, so I know what victimization is. I know what exclusion is. But I think that that's where you start. Because some of our entities, the challenge that we're having right now with them, is because of the bargaining issues. And some of the issues that are the person of the council, that always become a problem. Management always be more educated than the union. So the union, that they're stupid. It's an honest fact. It's an issue that I want to raise here, to say that no, they're in junior positions. We are highly educated. But another problem that we have is the mentality. Always is one part of the apartheid mentality, that when you sit in the office and you have a desk, then you think you are wise. I think that's one of the issues that we are having. But in the situation, I have to say, for we were speaking about expertise, but if you are not providing the expertise within the unit or department itself, then you will only go and rely on people from outside. And I mean, if you don't motivate your own workers, unfortunately, we never asked about bursary for employees within. And because what I'm saying, most companies or anything they will do, they'll just take you to a 1 week course and say within management. You know, and I'm not saying that those are important, but I'm saying what are we doing to improve the employee within? Because the challenge that we're having, I think people forget quickly, we are still in a stage whereby we're transforming society at all levels as well. And I think what was raised by Mr. Moss is very important on the issue of to say that if Sarah is not listening, including to what the DJ was saying, then I think then it's important for us to see what we do those holiday homes. You know, as much as we don't want them to be a liability, but I think we can't have the same beneficiaries benefiting over and over and using the same law, we'll say the Act of 1969. So I think I would have a problem with those issues because people will open to the laws and say there are certain acts of 19 because they know all the acts have been repealed. I think those are the things that must be quickly repealed, you know. And OMC back in the past, when I used to be a housing sport, as in class, we still had the same problem with the past. Although I was not in the as in transaction, but I knew that there was always an issue with the past, the primary and all those things. Because, I mean, we can't have, we can't put systems or put everything in place and Tina Futu and we are not following it up. I think those are some of the issues that I want to raise. I don't want to take the salary one, but I'll try to work out here. So, the benchmarking process, I'm not sure. I'm left something up to the labor bargaining, but obviously all of us want money. We only got 5%. So I did not even see the difference in the, you know, and the cardinals get even more than us. So I'm not saying
as long as just it's in line with the labor issues and there must be consultation. You see, Anarach, if we are not going to convince the portfolio committee about moving to Pretoria, then we are not going to approve that. Because I asked, what is the motive behind moving to Pretoria? You know, because as much as one might say, no, it's central, it's cheaper than Cape Town, come up with something that will make us do. Because there are many entities that are in other provinces, that are national entities. You know, I've just made an example with Pavos to say that they are operating from there. And that's one that comes to my mind. Zico is here. Okay. I've named quite a few, even in other provinces. But come up with something that tells us, because some will say, no, when I want to close to a house, we'll stay in Pretoria. I can investigate all the things. So I'm just saying, don't let us not try and I know some people from Cape Town will give all their titles for Cape Town, so going to put around them will be another issue. But if it's cost effective and cost cutting, don't we have only a bit of... You see, he's from here, he's head of the place, so he wants to go to Pretoria. But I'm just saying that let us look into the mess and not be taken by emotions and everything, because it might be also seen politically. Yeah. They will say it's the ANC. You know, Nikki, you see, he's angry today. So it's just saying it's the ANC now, we'll take it. It's from whatever, it's from Gauteng, you wouldn't do that, you know. You know? So...
No,
I was thinking about the marriage that broke very quickly, 5 days. So I'm just saying those are some of the issues that I should raise on some of these issues. If people are really patriotic, we can go far. I don't know if people don't like me, they feel I'm silly. It's fine. It's because I love my country. So whatever I do, it's not to say I'm trying to be who is who, but I do it for the country. I do it for the love of the people, you know. So anything that I do, I want our own people to develop, because every day, you still have Sarah, you still have a social responsibility in this country, especially the province that they're debating, and you know the conditions that we've been there. But you know, I think what is important here, I think the department must also assist Sarah here on the issue of this legal escort. Obama changed their wake up. So, Sarah, what? SARS? SARS? Customs? Yonkeland? And the international relations directly will play a major role in this again. You know? Because people are noticed, there's nothing that is. And the people who sell these own artifacts, some of them are even working in these spaces. I remember when we went to the museum in KZN, where they had all the security, they pay more for security than any other issue, because I think these are the most valuable thing. And I mean, I was in China the Beijing no long ago, they were telling me that some of their historical issues are in Australia. Now Australia doesn't want to bring them back because it's tourism for them. You know, it was the Zen's chair or whoever's chair was it. So I think those are some of the issues. And on procurement as well, I think that's what the problem is. Let's stick to the SM policies. You know, there's one word I hate. I worked in government for a long time. You know, when they can say heat deviation, I go mad. There were some people, like, you have not planned, you want to do deviation. But deviation also can is a form of corruption. Because that's why you choose your one service provider. So because you don't give others a chance as well, you know. Usara, Margaret, when you came in, I told you you were working for a very sensitive organization, Mr. McCann. A lot has happened there. People have been hurt. People have been, you know, very traumatized. And one of the issues I always said is that even to the new people, be sensitive how you speak to those who are there, as part of members, because they've been hurt. They are also divided amongst racial lines. I'm going to say again, you know. So you still have those relations to mend. I'm not saying that people take advantage of money. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that try and mend the relations because of the past that has been done. I mean, someone loved you to write us letters. You remember? When I got to go to the desk, I was like, no, this person is just head. So she's bitter. She's got nowhere to to her, and now I was the victim because I'm the superperson. So now I believed, and at least I'm better than Tesla. What's that kind of love? You know? So I'm just trying to say that if you are patriotic, you love local, there are certain things that you cannot do, you know? And I think it puts me, you know, the blue seller, I didn't want to be the office guy, CEO, and just barge in and say, yeah, I've got the right to be here. Make that time. Members, before you leave, is there anything? You brother me, all of the members, do you, what do you think? They are fine. You are just one of them. Is it fine? Members, okay, next week we are not going to meet. Because I know the state of the nation, and I know you. When you come with your husband, you don't even feel like it's a right or blue. So I'm going to give you the break to buy dresses and you know, it's our last sauna. Those who are older might not come back, and some of us might survive. And I'm not sure whether the marriage of Dean and Khan can also have a negative contribution to some. And thank you for making time, members of the AC, 2 o'clock. Yes. Thank you. The meeting is done. Thank you.